Oh, that's right. We are right here at WCRS, WCRS, caring for our community right here. And I tell you what, we have a very special guest this afternoon, Major Jason S. Hughes with the Salvation Army, doing the most good. And I tell you what, from my experience, Jason, with working with you and the Salvation Army, I always see amazing things happening. You know, last year at Christmas, we did so much, and the year before, and the year before, and we always try to help out with the Salvation Army, particularly at Christmas time. I think our listeners are very generous in helping donations to help do the angel trees and the bikes and just all the different things that we do to help make it come together.
Yes, the Salvation Army is in this community is very blessed. WCRS, its listeners, and this community in general, honestly, are just amazing. I was not born and raised here in this area. If you hear my voice, you can tell I'm not a local, but at the same time, I'm a sand lapper from the coast of South Carolina, and I'm always interested when I talk to my donors, my customers, our clients. When I hear a different accent that's not local, I always ask, where are you from, and what brought you here?
Right.
And so many times, people say, oh, I was passing through, and I stopped at Lake Greenwood, or we stopped for business, and they came and they stayed, and I understand why. The Salvation Army here in this community is blessed because of this community. The Salvation Army is simply a tool to be wielded by the community. The Salvation Army is effective and efficient in this community because this is a caring community that does an amazing job. There's a number of amazing nonprofits here. I know we're talking about the Salvation Army, but I just gotta say,
Right. There's
amazing nonprofits here that we partner with that do amazing things. So it's hard to be a shining star with all these other shining stars. But back to the Salvation Army.
Wait a minute now. That lights up the sky, doesn't it?
With all
these shining stars,
it
lights up the sky. Because I know in a lot of communities, you either have one or two organizations that do the heavy lifting.
Right. And that's not necessarily the case here. I mean, between Christian United Ministries, between Gleams, between the United Way, between the Greenwood County Food Bank, between the Soup Kitchen, between community initiatives, and of course, you know, the Humane Society.
It goes on and on with great organizations and they all have a niche market
that they
serve, that they work with, or that they try to help, and I think that's terrific. But the Salvation Army, you know, has always been credited with doing, I think, the most good with what they have. One of the things I wanted to cover before we talk about local is how well prepared the Salvation Army is in disasters.
Yes. Well, the Salvation Army, we began in 1865, and we responded to our first national disaster in the United States in the year 1900. And that was with a hurricane, and that was before they started naming hurricanes, hit Galveston Island, and I believe the fatality rate at that point was about 20,000 in that region. And the Salvation Army, we took and responded nationally. In fact, they ended up emptying out their national coffers to take and do disaster response at that year. In fact, they were very highly criticized, like, why'd you just do this? And the response was, people were in need. The Salvation Army emptied its coffers, and then because there was such an outpour of support, the Salvation Army was able to replenish its coffers after all the services were provided. And since then, the Salvation Army responds locally and regionally, nationally and internationally to disasters. And so if it's a local tornado, ice storm, flood, or if it's a tsunami, if it's an earthquake, if it's a hurricane, if it's wildfires, my goodness, you know, even radiological events, you know, such as in Japan and other places. All these events for the Salvation Army are local because the Salvation Army is local. We're in over 139 countries around the world. We speak over 124 languages and dialects, not me personally, but I speak Southern and I speak me. But the Salvation Army, they used to say that the sun never goes down on the British flag because of its empire. The sun never goes down on the Salvation Army flag. And so when these things happen, it happens locally. And the local Salvation Army begins to respond, and as there's additional need, then we will call in additional services. And the local Salvation Army is still the point of contact for that local disaster.
Well, it really is amazing. I don't know how many people, whenever you talk about the Salvation Army, somebody somewhere has been involved in some disaster and has used the services of the Salvation Army, whether it's them with a hot cooked meal, with all their trucks pulling in and making sure that people are fed, all the different things they do. It really is an amazing organization. And just think, Guys and Dolls, where would that have been if we hadn't had the Salvation Army, right? The play?
Absolutely.
So, and do you have a band? I just need to ask. Do you have a band here in Greenwood, the Salvation Army band? Because that was a big part of Guys and Dolls.
Yes. In fact, the Salvation Army here locally is probably one of the local Salvation Armies that has the most diversification for its music and gospel arts ministry. Two times a month with our young people, we teach junior band. We have eight in our junior band who are learning trumpets. And once they get that basic skill, we're going to take and diversify on instruments. We have three young persons who are learning handbells. We have three additional young persons who are learning guitar. And we have five young persons who are learning piano. And then every Sunday, the Salvation Army, for worship service, we have a praise and worship group with vocals, guitar, piano, keyboard. And we also have a nine-piece brass band that plays. And that brass band also has some percussionists, so I guess we're a mixed group. And the ethnicity of our congregation does reflect our congregation. We're about 70% of the demographics of our region, about 60% African-American. We have six individuals from Zimbabwe. And then we have a Hispanic family, and we have Caucasians. It's a good mix, a good diversification. And we try and worship and praise the Lord in all kinds of different ways. And then with those young persons, as they're going through these different skills, sets as they're learning, they also go to our summer camp once a month for Friday and Saturday during the school year to take and learn additional gospel arts tracks. And there they can also take dance. I can't teach dance, but they can teach dance. And they do.
I don't know, Jason. I don't think it would be dance.
It may be stomp instead of dance. But there with the gospel arts, they learn all kinds of other skills. And it's an amazing Christian environment. We have about 220 youth from around North and South Carolina that come together on those weekends. And locally, we have about 18 youth and about 5 to 7 youth leaders that help us out with that. But that's a part of what we do. And with the Salvation Army, we're like a person with many hats. So sometimes we put on the hat, we do praise and worship. Sometimes we put on a hat and we do service. And going back to disaster services, the Salvation Army tries to focus on the point of need and addressing those points of need in the community. And so while we've been doing disaster services for over 120 years, this is one of those events that's hard to plan for, because we specialize in mass feeding. We specialize on mass hydration. We can do pastoral and emotional care support. We do logistics. We do all the other things that go around with that. But this is not an event where we gather up everybody and feed them together. And so this is one of those struggles. And so right now we're trying to make sure that we have food baskets ready to go. We have a group of volunteers right here in Greenwood service area. And when I say Greenwood service area, the Salvation Army here, we serve Greenwood, Abbeville, McCormick, Lawrence, and Saluda. Games without E. Sorry, Edgefield. But the Salvation Army Naked and serves you, but everybody else in that Gaines region, the Salvation Army serves. Our office is located here, so that way we can streamline our cost. And the Salvation Army mantra, you said, the Salvation Army doing the most good. And it's a promise because we try and do the most good with everything that's given
with
to us.
With the least amount of money, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's the hardest part, isn't it? Because you can have all the plans in the world, but if you don't have the dollars to make these things happen, it's really difficult.
Right. Yeah. And so with our fundraising and admin last year, less than 10.5% went to combined fundraising expenses and administration.
That's huge. That's huge. When people look at how money is spent, that's what they want to see. They want to see that the money's not spent on administration, that the money that they give goes to the cause and the things that they need in that organization. So when we're talking about, I had you come on today because here we are. We just got through Christmas. You had great fundraising. You did great. Then you're anticipating the spring, and then COVID-19 hit. And how is that affecting the Salvation Army, Jason?
Kind of summed up in one word, and that word is devastating. From an emotional standpoint, when we look at those who we are serving, when we're looking at those who are donating, when we look at our community in general, you can sense the emotion in the air. In fact, the weather today, you know, with it being Tuesday evening, we just had those bad thunderstorms. It's been gloomy and thunderstormy and cloudy, and I thought it fit the atmosphere perfectly, but what we need is some sunshine to take and turn some things around. But it's devastation, because right now we're seeing a larger and increased need for services.
Because you have people that are out of work.
We have people out of work. We have people reducing hours. We have people that are losing jobs, and there's a lot of need. And the scary thing is a lot of our donors, you know, the Salvation Army is not supported just by the ultra rich, the rich, the wealthy. The Salvation Army is a group that serves anybody and everybody who is in need without discrimination. And because of that, everybody seems to support us because they've seen the work that we do.
You know, well, like I said, I think everybody at some time in their life has had an experience where the Salvation Army has helped.
Yes.
You know, I think that's a need, and they've been there. And so I think that creates that desire to help that organization, the Salvation Army, keep going.
Yes. And just speaking to that, I mean, locally, last year, we served over 9,000 persons out of our Greenwood office. Again,
wow.
Not our state, not the region, not the upstate, but the Greenwood Salvation Army served over 9,000 persons out of our office. And when you look at that, that means somebody you know may have been helped by the Salvation Army. And those who have been our donors in the past, what I'm worried about is they will become our clients for the immediate future. And
so when you say that, I think the thing that people need to understand, yeah, you were saying it's not the big dollar people that are donating. It's a lot of little donations that bring it all together.
Yeah, over 30% of our donations, and I was just looking at this today, about 30% of our entire budget for donations for services are gifts of around $25 or less. You know, the 80-20 rule does apply. We do have some donors that provide maybe about 20% of our donations, but the $25 and below donors is around 30% of our budget, which means that's something as working at the Salvation Army, I can make a $25 donation.
Right.
And just like with our kettles, if you take our kettles and just count the change without the dollar bills, and don't get me wrong, we need the dollar bills, the fives, the tens, the hundreds,
the gold coins,
yeah. and thank you, whoever keeps doing that every single year. You're amazing.
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you. But we need all those things, but even just the change. I mean, just in change, I know we raised about $20,000 to $25,000.
In just change.
At least $20,000. I know that number is at least $20,000.
Unbelievable.
In change. Pennies, nickels, dimes, quarters, not including the gold coins.
Okay, not including the gold. Okay. That is tremendous. And that serves a very big need in our community.
It does. And it also speaks to the example that Jesus pointed out to the disciples when the widow was putting in her two mite. And Jesus says that amount's going to be blessed. That amount, you know, she has given all that she has given. Now, we're not asking everybody to go give everything that you have. We'll take it. But we don't want that. We want you to be self-sustaining and supportive. But the truth is, as you may say, things are too tight. I can't give anything. It's like when you participate in a campaign at the workforce to support the United Way. And you put in, you know, if you put in $2 every paycheck, it adds up.
It does.
You know, if you put in a little bit of change every time you pass a kettle, it adds up. During this time, you may feel, I cannot do any significant thing to help the Salvation Army or the other organizations make a difference. Let me tell you, don't count your donation as worthless. You know, the value of the mite, the two mite that the widow put in that Jesus pointed out, literally today would be less than a few cents. But that adds up. And it's multiplied. And I'd rather have faithful gifts. Well, I'm not going to say I don't want large gifts. That's given, you know, without thought. I'll take anything we got. But I truly would want those who give out of faithfulness. God's going to bless. Besides, if you have 60,000 people and they put a dollar in each.
I think that's how much?
$60,000.
Absolutely. So that's huge.
It is.
That's huge. And so this is why, Jason, what is the need? You need dollars, but what do you need it for at this time? I mean, what is the, why are you in this situation? What is the plan going forth?
Yeah, essentially what happens is just like with most nonprofits, you know, you do your fundraising throughout the year, you cover your expenses as you go. And like with the Salvation Army, we normally have income that comes in on a regular month, and that's persons, and you know, less than 3% of our entire budget comes from any kind of a federal funding, and that's for emergency food and shelter. And we do partner with United Way and receive United Way funding because of that accountability and how they want to reach out and make a difference in the community. So they support the Salvation Army. But if you take those two amounts out, you're talking 92% comes from donations from individuals. And we take those donations and we put it direct service. And so during this time right now, especially, we're keeping our doors open. As people are going on lockdown and self-quarantining and keeping the social distancing, the truth is you still need to eat.
Right.
You still have rent and utility and mortgage payments due. You still are in need of clothing for job interviews because you lost your job and you're trying to find something else. You need clothing because all you have is winter clothing because you had to get out of an emergency situation. Now you need clothes to take and survive the heat that's coming.
What does the Salvation Army do in those cases?
So right now we're doing that service. We have our building on a kind of a lockdown situation. We can take and see persons. We meet them at the door, and we provide food assistance and the voucher assistance through our family store by giving the vouchers right there. We do make appointments every week on Monday for that entire week. We schedule our appointments for financial assistance by calling our office number, and then we schedule those appointments, and then we meet with those individuals inside the building. But because we have an older and a smaller building, if we have two people in my lobby, you're outside of compliance for social distancing. So what we're doing is we're meeting people at the door and we're addressing their needs right there. We have our senior food distribution that takes place for the persons who are already in our program on Thursday. We're telling our seniors, do not get out of your car. We will come to you, bring the food, check your ID, get you on the road. And so then that way, especially with our senior population, so they're not mixing and mingling. Normally, we like to encourage fellowship, but not right now.
That is a terrific thing. And I know in the past, I can remember dealing with, was it Melody?
Yes, right? Major Melody in
That was here. And I can remember a few summers when she was here where they were just desperate for food for their seniors in the summer months when things got kind of slow when they were doing the food and everything. So that's another big thing that y'all do. Y'all help with filling in the empty places on the food.
Yes. Yeah. And that's right now our major concern because people are still transitioning. They're still getting some checks. There's still maybe some unemployment. There's a promise coming of some bailouts of individuals. And I believe that's going to be coming through. It's just coming through a little bit later. But immediately people are needing food. As the Salvation Army, our food pantry, we served out of those 9,000 persons, just shy of 6,000 of those were through our food pantry. And that's always something we need. You know, we always need those critical items, peanut butter and jelly. You know, that's not just kids' food. That's a good protein. I don't know if I can make a justification for jelly, but it's hard to eat peanut butter without jelly. Okay, but you need peanut butter. Jelly makes it all go down like a spoonful of sugar. We also need those other items: canned meats, canned soups, especially as people are facing sickness. We'll take donations of toilet paper. My understanding is every county, every household in Greenwood County has got 17 cases? Well, maybe not. But remember, after this event, toilet paper goes bad. So give it to the Salvation Army so you don't lose it. Don't let it go to waste.
Don't let it go to waste. Give to the Salvation Army toilet paper. They'll take it. No problems.
Only use. I mean, only no, new. Not new. Not used. Only
new. Just new. Okay, Jason. So the point of this is you're anticipating, you're already seeing the need ramping up.
We are there. It's the beginning of the week was kind of scary. It was like a ghost town. I think the entire day we may have served five or six families, which is unheard of. Normally on an average day, we serve between 15 to 20 families. And we serve food. I mean, just be clear, we serve food 9 to 12 and from 1 to 4 Monday through Thursday. Monday was pretty slow. Today it started picking up. Last week was a little bit slow, but it's been picking up. This afternoon especially, we had some more people come in. The staff has been working on food bags. We have the Matthews Lions Club, some of their representatives, two of their younger members who are below age 80, who are going to come. They come every other month or so to help pack food bags, and we're going to have some of our young adults and college students come also on Tuesday so we can take and ramp up some additional food bags so they're ready to go. We already had that lined up because of the fear of spring break. Well, come to find out, spring break is 19 weeks long. I don't know. And it's scary with what we're looking at.
That brings me to a question. Are you doing anything for children? I know the schools are providing breakfast and lunch. Are you getting any requests for more food for the children? Because the governor just announced that they're going to be out of school through the end of April.
Yes, and that's really scary. We really anticipate the number of families to increase. Over half, probably. And I'm using this off the top of my head, but I believe our numbers are somewhere between 60 to 70% of the individuals that come to us for food are families with school-age children. So we fully anticipate that number to increase. It's been a little bit slow because parents with children have been a little hesitant to go out. They're calling to make sure that we are open before they come. We explain to them what they need to do, show us the ID. In fact, we're not even having them signing for paperwork. We verify who they are, then we put it into our computer system that, you know, that they've received food assistance, and they're not even having to take and sign anything. So that way, you know, we're not passing around the pin that has, you know, everything on it. Those numbers are increasing. And my biggest fear is right now, while the grocery stores are being stocked and food is being provided, we're okay. We can handle the volume. I'm really getting to the point where we're getting worried here in the next 2 weeks or 3 weeks. With the volume of request versus what we have on hand. We are getting a shipment of food coming in on Thursday. Our USDA food that comes in once a month. And we've already been told we're not getting frozen, we're not getting refrigerated items, and our normal canned good order, which is somewhere between 12 to 1,800 pounds, is greatly diminished. And so I'm not, so we'll go from 1,800 pounds down to 200 to 400 pounds.
Wow.
And
that's huge.
That is major, because normally on an average month, we distribute between 7,000 to 9,000 pounds of food.
Wow.
You know, we are a smaller food bank in the area. But at the same time, our numbers aren't insignificant. When you have 6,000 persons you serve each year, and again, 9,000 for the whole year, I anticipate that this fiscal year for us, we will pass the 10,000 mark because of this COVID-19 situation we're facing.
Wow. And of course, we've got people out of work. We've got people that are going to need help with a lot of different things. And that's where the Salvation Army, if you don't know the Salvation Army and all the things you do, Jason, where can they find out more about the Salvation Army?
So what you can do is you can go online to salvationarmycarolinas.org/ Greenwood, and again, salvationarmycarolinas.org/ Greenwood. We also have a Facebook page, the Salvation Army Greenwood, SC, I believe. If you type that in, it'll come up. We have information on there. We have some worship services connected to there. We're going to be doing some live recordings for worship services on this next round. Our region had a regional service that's posted on there under Belmont Worship, but we're going to have some regional, and we're going to have some local worship services posted there here for this coming Sunday. Some words of encouragement and information about what we're doing.
Well, I think what y'all do is so important, and I know that you are worried. You came to me, you talked to me about how worried you are about what the future is. It's not what today or tomorrow is, it's about this tsunami that you're afraid is coming our way.
Correct. Yeah, and that's my huge concern is we have to look at the future, and the scary thing is the scary future we're looking at isn't next 6 months, isn't a year from now. I'm really concerned here in the next 2 weeks. That's what
so
we need the resources.
What would you like the folks to do if they can help you out?
We solicit your prayers for the Salvation Army that we can take and serve faithfully and efficiently and effectively. Pray for your community, pray for your leaders, pray for the first line responders, and then as you are able to take and support the Salvation Army, if you're able to write a check, if you have resources that, again, maybe you just realize you got too much toilet paper, or some of those other things that's available. And no, we don't have toilet paper right now for public distribution, but if three or four people gave their supply, we would have enough for the county. That's just a part of it. But I mean, the truth is,
we're listening to WCRS right here in Greenwood, South Carolina. Sorry, Jason. Okay, go ahead.
And so, and what we do is we just ask people, give as you can, where you can. You know, if it's a financial donation, if it's a donation of cleaning supplies or toilet paper, but especially food. So those are the things that we need. If you're able to go out and pick up an extra couple of jars of peanut butter, I don't know if that's limited to one yet, but an extra jar of peanut butter. I mean, we need those kinds of things to take and help these families.
It's not a huge size.
It's not. I mean, you know, we can take any size, you know, 64 ounces or the 12 ounce. So the truth is, the smaller ones are better, so we can make that resource go farther to the different families. And it's literally picking up an item here or there, or maybe it's mailing in $5. You know, it doesn't sound like much, but again, if you have 100 people mail in $5, that's $500. And I can add, maybe I should. Anyway, so we need that type of help, and it does add up.
And the Salvation Army is one of those organizations that you can count on to be there. So we need to support the Salvation Army at this time so that they can continue to be a resource because of the number and the population that you serve. And as I said, there's probably not anybody that at some point or another hasn't used the services of Salvation Army to help them get them somewhere, be a part of a disaster. I mean, it is universal. When you talk about the Salvation Army, they really need your help. So, Jason, where would they would it be the P.O. Box? 1453?
That is correct. P.O. Box 1453 here in Greenwood, South Carolina. You can donate online again at the Salvation Army Carolinas .org/Greenwood. Those are two easiest ways to take and donate. You can drop it off by the office, but at the same time, if you're social distancing, put it in the mail or go online. Again, those resources will make a difference.
Absolutely. So whether it's a $5 donation or a $100 donation, they would like all donations, and they'd like to be able to continue to serve all their population. And in this time where we're all trying to take care of each other, we're trying to be aware of it, let's keep the Salvation Army doing what they do best, doing the most good with the least amount. I'm going to put my money on the Salvation Army. How about you? Again, that number, that P.O. Box 1453. And Jason, if they want to give you a call because they need more information about hearing what you talked about here, it's 864-229-3407. That's 864-229-3407. Jason, it's not only you, but it is your lovely wife that is always working hard there at the Salvation Army.
Yes, we try and save her for TV interviews because my face is only good for radio.
Well, darn. But I tell you what, I went by there. We got to finish up because we're at the top of the hour. But I went by there when they were packing up the stuff and getting it ready for giving out all the toys. We did the toy drive. Other people brought toys. All the toys. She was in charge of organizing that whole thing over there, and she had that thing organized. I was very impressed.
I am too. I am so blessed to have a much better half, probably a much better 70% for productivity and efficiency. Well, Greenwood's blessed to have her.
Well, we're blessed to have you here because I think you have added, and you certainly, in all the different avenues that you work in, I mean, we've dealt with the violence issue here. You've worked with all different church groups, and you are one of these type of people that loves working with people, and I think that should have come across in the interview here today.
Yeah, and again, this community is blessed to have these different groups. Through the violence that's been going on, I was able to connect with an amazing ministerial association, the Pastors and Ministers Fellowship, that's chaired by Reverend Dr. Adrian Weidman, and just the different groups between the sheriff and the police department, our mayor, the new Boys and Girls Club that's come into the community. This, again, is a blessed place, and we're only efficient and effective because of this community. We're a tool to be wielded. This community's wielded it well, and we are still looking for action to be able to take in meet these needs.
Absolutely. So you can call Jason's office, the Salvation Army, 229-3407. That's 229-3407. If you'd like to make a donation, you can send it to the Salvation Army, P.O. Box 1453, Greenwood, South Carolina. And the zip code, is it 29646 or 48? 48 is the one, the post office right uptown.
Correct.
48 is the post office. Okay, 29648. So that's P.O. Box 1453, 29648. $5, $10, whatever you can give. Or give stuff, peanut butter, food, toiletries, cleaning supplies, all those things can make a difference. Jason, thanks for taking some time out of your day and coming to tell us all about the things that the Salvation Army does.
Thank you for the opportunity. Again, we want to say thank you to WCRS, who continues to support the Salvation Army here in this community.
Thank you so much, Jason. That's going to do it for us. Bye-bye, everybody.